Welcome to Latinos Who Thrive, the podcast where we celebrate the successes, inspiring stories, and resilience of Latino community worldwide. From business leaders to artists, activists, and more, we explore the unique experiences and positive impact that Latinos are making in all areas of life. Join us as we celebrate the authentic and empowering conversations that will inspire you to reach your own goals and thrive on your journey. Today, we have a very special guest, Geraldina Interiano Weiss, who is a highly accomplished artist and architect. She is the co-founder of ALMA, a nonprofit organization that is out to build a local and international landmark for Latino art and culture. So let's get started. And now we have Geraldina Interiano Weiss. Geraldina, welcome to Latinos Who Thrive.
Thank you, Victor. It is a pleasure being here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you got into the arts.
My name is Geraldina Interiano Weiss. I am from the San Salvador volcano, el Volcán de San Salvador. I grew up there and came to college to the United States. I was going to be a designer for better housing for my people. There's a lot I saw since childhood. There was a lot to be desired in how people live. And that's how I was going to change my country. That's what I was going to do for my people.
So were you going to design by being an architect, by being a designer? Tell us some more specifics about that.
Sure. So the first thing I want to tell you is that by some amazing, miraculous knowledge of parents, my mother saw that I had talent. And so very early, she deposited me in the ravines of the volcano of San Salvador. The very modest house of Violeta Bonilla, a protege of Diego Rivera, wow. The Mexican muralist. And Violeta had just returned to her native El Salvador after working with Diego Rivera. She had small kids and she had returned. And my mother heard about her. And every Saturday morning, she deposited me there in the ravines of the volcano. And I painted. And I learned all about art until I came to college. So I like to tell the story that all my friends as teenagers were sleeping in on a Saturday. And I was at 8 a.m. with Violeta doing my art education. That got to be about my luckiest star, because you can't reproduce that education easily at all. That education came with enormous connection to why art matters. It wasn't just about what I produced every Saturday. It was about what other enormous artists like Diego Rivera use their talents to forward the culture of their people at a global platform. That came to me early, Victor.
So I get it, Geraldina, but our listeners may not. So I want you to translate that a little more to common sense understanding as far as why does this matter to the average college kid going to college? Why does it matter to look at art as a foundation or as an auxiliary discipline to be able to really grow, to really find the self-fulfillment, self-actualization? Why does it matter?
Thank you. I will be so happy to answer those questions. Art is fundamental to the human brain. It is what distinguishes us 1,000 years ago. It's what distinguishes us from the animal kingdom. Us from the rest of the planet. We come from the planet. Every living cell comes from the globe that is part of a universe. And what made humankind? And how we know that we were at that moment the people that were going to be us today is by the art they produced, the cave art. I had done the research, Victor, on this, and anthropologic geneticists were coming to this conclusion. I thought, but I have to see it myself. So last June, I actually made the trek to caves, and I saw it for myself. And you may think that I'm getting off subject, but it's actually so on point to the subject. Because by being in those caves, by understanding that art, that was not prehistoric art. That was artists. They were humans like me, like Diego Rivera, like Violeta Bonilla, like Picasso. That's the level of artists that were painting in those caves. And I didn't know that. I kept thinking the narrative is the prehistoric artists before we could think, oh, no. Those were consummate artists. Why did they do art? I even asked the question in the caves, like, why did they do this? Well, the minute I uttered that question, I knew the answer. The answer is that it is essential to humans to express their being alive in the world, in the context that they are. That's what my art is about, Victor. My art is about expression of me that come from a culture inside of the context of a bigger culture. That's what every artist is about.
I actually get everything that you just said because I've been reading a book by a researcher from Brazil who is doing a lot of research on dreaming. And he references a lot of those ancient cave paintings as how our earliest ancestors tried to record dreams that they actually dreamed, or they were projecting dreams into the future. Again, painting on the walls what was possible, whether it was a hunting scene. Tell us, since you were there, it's like I've never been to those caves. What did you experience and witness?
Victor, when I was there, I felt very strongly, and I know this may sound strange, but I felt very strongly that those artists had done that for me. I cannot tell you what an understanding that was. It's a truth. Those artists were never going to know who I was, but they were leaving it for the future generations as an expression of who they were and the context they were in. And so I'm going to go back to why is Alma important? Because you thought I was digressing, and really I was setting it up. The punchline is very simple. If we do not preserve the expression of our culture now for the future generations that are going to need to know how we fought, how we felt, how we were silenced, or how we expressed ourselves, then they will not be empowered to do so. That's why we have to create an organization like ALMA that will give voice to our people, because our voices are truly an expression of our culture. We don't live in silos. We are part of a very strong network of ideologies that have come from the past. We have it in our DNA. My art talks about the DNA of my Maya warrior queens of the 7th century. I'm connecting to them as 50 generations after me, women will connect to me through my art. Well, that's important to think about this as a patrimony. We're leaving a patrimony. Victor, you and I know that we're already leaving patrimony in this country. We're already part of this country. We're already a vibrant and integral part of the United States of America. Am I right?
Absolutely. It is our time. This is the golden era, in my opinion, of Hispanics, to where we have scaled up in economics, in political power, in education, and we are continuing to rise because Latinos in Texas are now the majority. And the total purchasing power of Latinos, if Latinos in America were a country, we would have a bigger economy than even France. So we would be like one of the top five nations in the world with our purchasing power. And so referencing back to you, in my experience, if you don't know where you come from, where are you going? What are those values that are driving you? How is your life and your family and your current community an iteration of the generations that came before us? And let me tell you where my mind goes, because I was there at that event where they unveiled the rollout of the Hispanic Historical Research Center, where you spoke very eloquently about some of the deficits that you saw in the planning and your particular philosophy about what needed to happen. And we'll get a little bit more into that. But my point is that I heard you being very well grounded, and I was impressed with what you had to say. And that's why I invited you to come on the podcast, because you really get it. It's like you really have your pulse, not only about what is going on in presently, but you have projected yourself into the future of future generations, that you are actually building something for them after you and I are long gone. It's like they will have something. They will have that patrimony, that legacy that we're building. And I want to get your take on something because again, this touches on what you're saying. When we look at Latinos in Houston, right here, which is considered the future of the United States, very well versed in Dr. Steven Kleinberg, that he said that as goes Houston, so goes the U.S., okay? So goes Texas, so goes the U.S. Houston is now, I read one study that is considered now the melting pot of the U.S. Used to be, while some people may still argue that L.A. is the biggest melting pot, or New York, it is Houston that is the biggest melting pot. And right here in Houston, Geraldina, when you look at the East End, when you look at Deer Park and San Jacinto Battlegrounds, look at the art that is on display at those big oil tanks, those big fuel tanks on 225 en route to San Jacinto. Look at the iconography, the images of Texans beating Mexico. Talk about that. It's like, what does that do to the Mexican-American Latino psyche when you see images of that portrayed, and not only on the oil tanks, but throughout the region, of the narrative of the winners who won the battle for Texas?
Victor, I think you're alluding to something that we all have felt, that our narrative hasn't been somebody else wrote this narrative.
Yes.
We are retaking the writing of who we are, and we are going to be bold in giving to the world in a concise manner how to understand us through the best of what we have to offer. So it's a very positive platform, bold and positive. And you know why I can be bold and positive? Because that's how I see us. And I have a lot in common with every Central American, with every Yucatan. My ancestry is from Yucatan. For God's sake, we have a lot in common. And what do we offer? A lot. But we've been operating separately. And therefore, it doesn't add up to understanding us. And that's why in the bold, talk about bold, we're saying, wait a minute, if we're going to have a Latino museum complex to understand us in Houston, just like you said, the way Houston goes, Texas goes, the way Texas goes, the nation goes, well, heck, let's do it in the first national U.S. Latino museum complex for the understanding of the U.S. Latino.
Very well said. So tell us, what is your vision, or what is the vision of ALMA, the organization that you co-founded, about what that complex is going to look like?
It's a new arts district, and you asked a question that I didn't answer before, but it really is an important one, which is, why is art important for us? And the first thing I want to tell you is that I answered part of it. It's elemental to the human brain. That means our children need art. Number two, it is a platform of empathy. Art is the best way for messaging and creating empathy on whatever subject. Those are studies that have been made on that. The head of the Ford Foundation taught me that one. He came to speak in Houston. I heard him say that, and I researched it. And there it is. That's why they invest in art. That's why our art is important, because it creates empathy. And ask me, empathy for whom? For us. Let's love each other. Let's understand each other. And this way, let others come and understand us and see us as the incredible humans that we are, with incredible potential, with superpower of production. We are, you know, I always quote Lin-Manuel Miranda in Hamilton, the play, that says, immigrants, we get the job done. That's exactly what we do. And so let understand us as humans, of tremendous potential, and as humans of tremendous productivity. And so the arts are a really good and positive platform of understanding. So let's talk about the arts. You know that art is not just visual arts. There's the art, right? So all our literati, all our writers and our poets and our and the people who tell their stories, the storytellers, those are all art. How about our culinary arts? The food is at the center of everything we do and how we understand each other. Well, let's put this under one roof and have them understand the plethora of cuisines that we encompass here in Houston, right? So have them partake, share a meal of our culture, which people are already doing in Mexican restaurant there or the margarita bar there. But now let's have a comprehensive view about the best of our culture. So you see art, the theatrical arts, there's all the different arts. And then there's also the cultural arts, the folkloric dancing, the making of piñatas, the things that we just take for granted, but that are actually really beautiful expressions of our culture. I say, put them there, bring them up, have people not only understand us, people buy them. Let's create a whole culture of making, a making society, because that's what we are, that's what we've always done.
You're listening to Latinos Who Thrive with special guest Geraldina Interiano Weiss. We'll be right back. Are you ready to unlock your full potential and embark on a journey of limitless knowledge and boundless creativity? Look no further than Wizard Academy, where dreams become reality. At Wizard Academy, they are not just a school. They're a community of visionaries, dreamers, and achievers. Whether you're a student, a working professional, or someone looking to reinvent yourself, Wizard Academy has a place for you. I know, because I'm a graduate of the World Changers class of 2007 when I worked in print media. Imagine being guided by industry experts, where innovation knows no bounds and where your passions are transformed into skills. Their cutting-edge programs span technology, business, arts, and more. You'll discover the magic within you, and you wield it with confidence. At Wizard Academy, they embrace diversity and creativity, and they celebrate your unique journey. So be sure to join them in the heart of innovation, where the extraordinary becomes ordinary. Visit them at www.wizardacademy.org now to explore their lineup of courses, faculty, and the incredible success stories of this community. Your future is waiting. Unleash your inner wizard today. We now return you to Latinos Who Thrive with special guest Geraldina Interiano Weiss.
So to answer more succinctly the question is, what do we envision in Alma? We envision a new arts complex, a new ecosystem where all these things can be understood, imagined, where they can be, you can be immersed in them, where you can come out and say, wait a minute, how come I didn't know about all this? Because as it is, Victor, people ask, well, doesn't something like that already exist? Well, to me, that's a little bit of a slap in the face, because if you think that exists and you don't know anything about it, it means taking us for granted. Like, didn't somebody throw you a bone sometime? Well, we're no bones. This is not about bones. This is the meat of our culture that we are going to put forth in a comprehensive, authentic, and bold way for everybody to partake, because creating empathy through the arts is the best way to let go of discrimination, to let go of us being lesser, to let go of having thrown us a bone and isn't that enough.
I had never heard that comment, but now it is, as I reflect upon it, it's absolutely right that that through art we develop empathy. We are talking to the right brain. We're talking to the female energy of our being, because in this patriarchal society, we have totally neglected the feminine energy, the softer, the wiser, the holistic side of ourselves. And so I get that now as I reflect on some of the art that I've been exposed to, because I've had different artists over the years, such as Jesse Almazan, who is a famous painter, the late Jesse Almazan, who modeled Kandinsky in his abstract art, in how he portrayed a very rigid male energy. He called it the Pachuco, which was an abstract figure. But towards the end, it became softer, rounded, displaying the wisdom and the gentleness of the final art that was the final piece of the evolution of the Pachuco. So, and again, all the other works of art, whether it was Picasso, whether it was Rembrandt, all the other ones, it's like in that art we find parts of ourselves that speak to us, that sometimes we don't listen to those inner voices, we don't listen to those emotions, that sometimes in this modern day society, the digital world that we live in, we neglect that deeper understanding, that empathy for ourselves, and that empathy for the community, by seeing how it all fits together, the integration of the whole, as opposed to simply focusing on the micro.
Victor, the other thing I want to point out is that the narrative in the United States is the Latino community, Latinos. Before it was Hispanic. You don't have to go into that right now, but right now it's Latinos. So Latinos, as if we were truly one entity. Yes. And one of the things we want to point out in Alma is the diversity within Latinos, and call it out as our superpower, as the positive part of our culture. It's not a negative, for God's sake. The fact that in our Latino community, there's every possible permutation of melanin, meaning color of skin. Every, from the whitest of the white to the blackest of the black, exists in the Latino community in the United States. Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful. And I'll tell you where my mind goes with that, with your comment. And I got an education from my late client, the artist, Jesse Almazan. He said, and this is part of the story behind his iconic art. He says, he called it the Coyote because mestizos in Mexico were not even considered humans. When the Spanish interbred with the indigenous women, they were called the coyotes. They were called animals. They weren't even allowed to have a birth certificate. And so what he told me is that coyotes, yes, it was a derogatory term, but he says when you look at the mythology of the coyote in Native American Indians, they were feared, and they were also considered the wise animals that would lead tribes to food and water. They were the scouts that helped tribes survive. And he says, so the coyote is the blending of the best of both, the indigenous culture, as well as the Spanish. And when you take that gene pool, it's actually a stronger gene pool as opposed to just one gene pool.
Totally. And the strength of, really, the strength of our community. And by the way, I think I told you at the beginning of this conversation that my art, the art that I produce, refers back to my Maya indigenous women. So I have great respect for the indigeneity inside of each one of us, I think it's my superpower.
Sure.
And that's exactly what you say. Because I have that in my DNA, I am powerful. It's not the only DNA, but I have great respect for people with, you know, it's like when I did my DNA test, I just wanted it to be even higher than that, right? Because I love it. I think that this is the strength of our people, is the indigenous in us. It's the coyotes in each one of us. So thank you for that explanation. That was really pretty.
Yeah. So this is something that is gold to me as far as reclaiming that identity of who we are and where we come from. That I think that superpower is not being totally harnessed and accessed in the younger generation, that they really need to know and awaken to the fact that, hey, you have superpowers that you have not even explored.
Thank you for that, because I believe that if you were to ask me, what is the top priority for Alma? It is to inspire. Come to Alma and get inspired. Inspired by other people that look like you, other people that don't look like you, inspired by people from all over the hemisphere that we can join hands and look at and learn from each other. So get inspired, because when you're inspired, it means that you are feeling deeply the genesis of who you are.
Totally. Give us the timeline for when this center is going to be completed.
We believe that we can get this done by 2030.
Okay.
But then in
context. We're talking about 6 years into the future.
But then in context, there are no institutions that have started from zero to full on opening of 6 years. And
yes. Yeah.
And
that takes decades. Usually.
It's gonna take? It's gonna take money.
Yes.
Because remember the idea about throwing us a bone? Like, we're not building a bone.
Yeah.
We are not building a bone. We have waited this long to create the analogous, let's dream, right? Let's imagine. The analogous to these cave art places, right? The ones that we're going to create now for the future. And that's not going to be just anything. And it's not going to be small, because when we take on the learning about the U.S. Latino at a national level, what I think is going to happen, Victor, is that every Latino family is going to put in the nation, is going to put in their bucket list, take my children to Palma.
Exactly. And so this is not a handout because maybe you have studies on what the return on investment is. But when you look at some of the great museums in Washington, D.C. that I've toured personally with a Smithsonian, for every dollar that is invested in building something like that, what is the return? Do you have any actual numbers?
We are working on those numbers. We have consultants that are literally working at understanding what is our economic impact, because it's not only the return on investment inside of the institution of ALMA, but it's also the return on investment on the city.
The cumulative effect. Look at what San Antonio has done with the Alamo and the missions and other icons for that particular area.
Yes.
How it created that culture that they ran with it, and they marketed San Antonio as a very Latino city.
I love
to host the
and I'm for tourism, right?
Yes.
That is what Houston has been missing. And you said the word iconography several times, I think, in your conversation. And I wanted to go back to that word because I do not remember when, to go back to San Antonio, that when anything to do with San Antonio, you don't even have to read the word San Antonio. You see the little Alamo and you get it.
Antonio. Exactly. Exactly.
What do we have in Houston, Victor?
We have San Jacinto Monument.
Again, what do we have in Houston?
We have a bio, we have a skyline. We don't have culture.
We don't have iconography.
Yes.
We believe that if we are able to raise with the help of everyone, and Victor, I'm not kidding, this is the time when we will take $5 from any teenager who that weekend made 25 doing something, and gives yeah. $5 to ALMA. It will take every one of us to then raise the money to create an iconography for the city. We can do this. This is a Latino city. You already said that. So let's create the iconography that goes for Houston. We are giving Houston in a silver platter an iconography that the world can recognize. Houston doesn't have.
Well, yes, exactly. So either the artist already has some sort of concept, or there's artists that will create the symbolic worldwide icon that will identify the historic Latino Museum Center with coming to Texas, coming to the hub of the iteration of Latinos.
Of U.S. The U.S.
Yes, the Mecca for U.S. Latinos.
For U.S. Latinos. So number one, I think you're right. I think that I told you that is one of our goals, is to create iconography. And I don't only mean artistic iconography, I mean architectural iconography. So that we can be, you know, if you're coming in Southwest and you fly over it, you would say, oh, that's where that is, right?
Yes.
Because you have iconography. Right now, you just fly over Houston, you just don't even know where you are. But there we go. We have iconography in the art, in the three-dimensional realm. So I think it's a really bold idea, but why would we deserve anything but bold when we are creating?
Our ancestors built the Great Pyramids in Mexico City.
There you go.
In Peru. That have survived thousands of years, and all the other great structures, is like, why not Houston?
Yes. So why not Houston, number one? Number two, I call this a legacy project, because what you haven't asked me is, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I believe this is my legacy to this country that gives so many of us the opportunity to be our free and authentic selves.
Expression.
The best of this country can do that. It has allowed me to go from architecture that I did for 25 years to be an artist and have the freedom of my full expression. This is this country, and I'm not the only story. So I'm going to take the best of this country. We know there's an underbelly to every society, but we're going to take the best of this country, and I believe we are doing this for all Americans. Understand us and celebrate us. Because if you understand and celebrate us, you have a good path to a vibrant U.S.
Totally. If you go to Washington, D.C., you see all the monuments, you see all the statues, you see all the icons that clearly identify the U.S. It's time that we have the same here in Houston, okay?
Yes. And to be fair, you need to know that we're calling this a national U.S. Latino museum complex, but the Smithsonian is also planning a Smithsonian Latino museum, a national Latino museum. That is in the works. It has to pass through government. We don't have to pass through government, so we think we're going to beat them to the table.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Well, you have to come back, Geraldina, to keep us updated on the progress of this facility. And it's been very enlightening to speak with you. Any final words for our listeners that you would like to say?
Yes, to every one of you, please understand that this is a heavy lift. We have fantastic leadership at ALMA. We have a wonderful board. We have advisors. We have people volunteering in our committees. Get involved with ALMA. Register at alma.org. Remember, it's ALMA with double A, double H at the end. And at register@alma.org, if you're an artist, register as an artist so that we can keep you in the roster and put every opportunity that will be coming your way through ALMA to for people to partake of that. So we're already an active institution. We're not just a dreaming institution. We're a very active institution. So get involved, and most importantly, follow us in social media, because Victor, you know this, if we connect in social media, we can put out the word, every opportunity, for everything that we need, for everybody to become part of this movement. We need it to be a movement. And I think that the most compelling reason why I would ask everybody to be part of the movement by joining us in social media is that this is a positive movement. We don't have to get out and be negative or be ugly or ask forcefully. Let's go on the positive of what we have, and we have a lot.
Absolutely. And
I urge every viejita out there, get on the movement. This is a good one. This is the best of us, bringing out the best.
Your information is going to be in the show notes for people to follow up and to follow you and to follow ALMA in all its endeavors. So that's going to do it, my friends. Thank you very much, Geraldina. And until we meet again, so long.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody who's listening and who's going to look us up in social media and be part of the movement.